I'm excited to share the word of the Lord this morning. I'm going to speak on wisdom, continue on speaking on wisdom. 2 weeks ago, we started this series, and I'm going to continue on that. And I pray that the Lord would give me wisdom first, because I need a lot of wisdom to live this life. And I hope that some of you this morning will hear something for yourself that you'll be able to take home and apply to your life, to your daily life. You know, as a pastor and as a leader, oftentimes we have an opportunity to attend two big events in life. And one of them is generally happy and joyful, and that's a wedding. A wedding is usually always fun. It's always amazing to be a part of one. Last year, we were part of eight weddings. It was a joyful year because everybody decided to get married last year. All the young people that I was officiating weddings for, it was a joyful year, that's for sure. To contrast that with another event that as the pastors have to attend is a celebration of life and a funeral. And this last week I was a part of celebration of life, officiating a funeral of a gentleman named Gary, who is a father of our usher who attends our church, Lonnie. It was a privilege to be there and speak the message and be a part of that. But also we've had Pat, our dear member, she's been around our church for a very long time. Her son just passed away as well recently, and there's going to be a celebration of life this coming up Thursday. But funerals are not generally fun place to be at. There is sadness of losing a loved one, and I'm sure most of you have been a part of the funeral in your life. And if I can be honest with you, I don't like funerals because it's hard to say goodbye to loved ones, right? Especially if it's someone that's really close to our family. Let's just put it this way. I like weddings more than funerals, okay? Just put it that way. But whenever I attend a funeral, whether it's just attending it or being a part of it and taking a part in actually officiating it, there's always something that I learn new about life, and no better time or no better place or event for us as Christians or people to attend and be a part of where we can really stop, pause, ponder our life and what we're a part of, but also try to get understanding of how our life is so short, yet how we all at one point of time will take our last breath, and then through that process of a loved one passing by, hopefully there's some wisdom that you can learn from the life of a loved one that's passed on. And isn't it interesting how when we go to a funeral, usually, and even this last week when I was a part of it, the loved one is usually remembered not by all the foolish choices and bad and unwise decisions that they have made, but usually they're remembered by the wise choices they have made, good things they have done in their life, and all the great things that they have accomplished while they were on this earth. And then I was just thinking about that the other day, how when we go to a funeral, it's usually we talk about all the good, wise choices. Nobody's going to talk about the bad stuff. And I would hope that nobody would ever want to talk about the bad stuff at the funerals. But maybe there's some bad things that people do in life that we can learn from and we can gain wisdom from. And then I had a question. Well, when we go to be a part of a funeral, we usually remember all the good things and wise things. Why can't we do that in this life with our loved ones right now while they're alive and breathing? Why can't we, in a conversation sometimes, just focus on the good things and focus on positive things instead of always focusing on the negative? I think that's a part of our flesh and our process and our pride and what we as humans have to live through while we're in this life. But it's interesting how every choice that we make, if it's good, it's going to be remembered for a long time. If we make bad choice in life or while we live, usually a lot of people don't want to talk about those things, right? And that is why we need wisdom. That is the reason why we need to walk in wisdom. And this is the title of my message today, Why We Need Wisdom. Now, just to recap a little bit about what I've talked about a few weeks ago, about what wisdom is and what wisdom is not, we talked about how wisdom is not knowledge, because we can have all the intellect and all the knowledge in the world and still make bad decisions in life. We can have, wisdom is not age, we can be very old, past certain age, and still not make right choices. And then wisdom is also not faith. We talked about how faith, sometimes you can have faith for things and you can believe for God to provide something and do something for you. And there's a lot of breakthroughs and we believe in breakthroughs and miracles and God is able to do many wonderful things. But also, if it's regards to our, let's say, finances, it's not the same as if, you know, you pray for a breakthrough, God comes through for you, and then you don't know how to manage finances that you need wisdom for. Health as well. People get sick because they don't take care of their body and they don't live healthy and they don't move. They don't do things that they're supposed to do. They don't and that for that it takes wisdom to live a healthier life and on and on. And then we talk about how wisdom is a fear of God, how everything starts at fearing God. But when I said fear, that doesn't mean that we're afraid of something as a natural fear, but we actually have this true honor and reverence towards God so that we truly honor him. And that is the beginning of all wisdom the scripture talks about. Foolishness is when you don't fear God. And actually, the Bible even talks about that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. A lot of people that don't believe in God nowadays make all kinds of foolish decisions because they don't have the honor and fear and respect towards God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. And then we talked about how wisdom is discernment as well, good judgment, making right decisions. We talked about how wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. And then we talked about how we need to seek to walk wisely, use our time right, and also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because at the end of the day, Jesus, who was standing in front of the opposition, he said, someone greater than Solomon is standing right in front of you and you're missing out. He called himself wisdom. And therefore, if Jesus was the wisdom, he was the word that was from the very beginning, that created everything, and all the way till the end of age, he's the wisdom of God. Christ was the wisdom that everything came about through, and that everything is going to come through as we kind of go through this life. And then when Jesus went up, sent the Holy Spirit, who is also wisdom, Spirit of wisdom, also called in the scriptures, that is with us today, and it is us walking by the Spirit in this day and age, in this life, that we are able to make right choices. When we walk in the Spirit, we make wise choices. When we walk by the flesh, we make unwise choices. But that's where we ended, and I want to continue in that same, talking about why we need wisdom, and why is it important. You know, like I mentioned, the choices that we make today don't only affect us, but also affect everybody else around us, especially our loved ones. And that's why if we want to make and leave a mark and leave a positive impact, we have to be careful with our choices. And I love this verse in Proverbs 13:20. It says, walking with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So, we as people, we oftentimes teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. And it usually comes down to our character and who we are as people. How do we see ourselves as well? So the wisdom that we have in this life does not just benefit us, but it actually positions us to benefit all the people around us as well. Our choices, our words, our lifestyle, they become an example to other people around us that people can follow. And what wisdom does, it multiplies in influence and it blesses those around us. That's why wisdom is so important. So the question that we can ask ourselves in this moment is my life that I'm living in this moment worth imitating? When someone looks at me right now and looks at my life and my choices and what I'm doing, is it worth imitating? You see, Apostle Paul was able to say that with full freedom, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He said, look to me. If you want an example of what it's love, what it's like to live a Christian life, just look to me. And he was, in many ways, he would call himself the least of the of these, but he was also trying really hard to just live his life for Christ. He was completely transformed, completely turned around, and his whole mission in life was to serve God and to help people serve God as well. Is your life worth imitating? And do you want to be remembered as someone who was wise or someone who was not so wise? Proverbs 4, 5, 7, I'm going to start with this scripture. It says here, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. We talked about how wisdom is the most precious, high prize possession of anything that we can have in this life. It is more valuable than anything that this world can offer. And I like these verses because they talk about why we need to get wisdom, why we need to love wisdom, why we need to seek wisdom. It says here, it will protect you. It says here, it will watch over you. It will protect you over the death traps that the Satan, the enemy of your soul, is trying to push you in. It will protect you from living this life in a meaningless way, where you just go around this life and you hurt others, you hurt yourself, and you hurt others by your choices. It will also protect you from brokenness that this life is filled with. We need to desire it. We need to ask for it. We need to want it, because it will lead us in this life, and it will give us wisdom. Is going to give us victory over many things that the humanity is struggling with. You see, a lot of people are struggling. A lot of people need God's wisdom to deal to just normal day-to-day relationships that they have. They don't know how to deal with their kids. They don't know how to deal with their coworkers, their spouse. They don't know how to. They just don't have wisdom. They need wisdom of God to actually lead them into victory, to overcome whatever they're struggling with. And that's why wisdom is important. It helps us live a victorious life, not in just one area, but in every area of our life. If we have wisdom, we have the Holy Spirit, we're able to overcome, and we're able to come on top. And I love what Augustine said. He said, wisdom is the knowledge of divine things. It is simply the knowledge of God. It is simply that something that we need to keep us ongoing. So how do we end up being victorious? We seek God, his wisdom, and not only that, but we also seek him to help us how to apply to our day-to-day life. So godly wisdom positions you not just to fight, but to prevail, because when wisdom leads, victory follows. When wisdom leads, victory will always follow. We need to seek wisdom over wealth. We need to seek wisdom over comfort. Temporary happiness, it is the path to a truly good, blessed, and godly life. So, that's why we need wisdom. That's why we have this wisdom, and we are to live by it daily. Why do we need wisdom? We need wisdom to leave a legacy. We need wisdom to leave a legacy. You see, what wisdom does, it ensures that your legacy lasts beyond you. Wisdom ensures that your legacy lasts beyond your last breath on this earth. In Proverbs 24:3, it says this, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. You see, we're all building a house. May not be a physical house, although I've been a part of a physical project, and I mentioned this before, where you're building a house for a long period of time. It depends where you come from. if you're building a house, it usually takes years to build a house. You know, it's brick by brick, paycheck by paycheck, little by little, you put money aside and you're building your house. And then the biggest celebration is when you put the roof on that house, because you know that it's finally, the house is finally finished, and you know that that house is going to be a blessing, not only for your family, but it's also going to be a blessing for other families and for the generations to come. You know, talking about a physical house, usually houses getting passed on from generation to generation to generation. That's usually what, that's how things have always been. And you know that there's a blessing in that, building that house, because you know it's going to stay forever. Just like that, talking about a spiritual house, which is our Christian life that we're building on this earth, we are building this house by wise choices that we're making daily. And we need to look to have a good house that will produce legacy beyond here and now. You see, I know a lot of people that have passed on, and we know them in Scripture, obviously, they've been mentioned and talked about, great fathers of faith. But then you're looking at this life, and just over the past hundreds of years, we have people that have built good, solid houses, living their life in wisdom, living their life for God, and we still mention them, we still talk about them, and we still use them as an example of what we can be like in this life. Good Christian, good house will be passed on for generations, through generations, will be mentioned through generations, and a good Christian life will also be followed and modeled for generations. You see, our life is not just about today and what happens now. Our life is not about what we're doing in this moment. Our life is about leaving something behind for our future generations. That's what my prayer always is and always will be, that what I leave would be the spiritual heritage for my kids, and then hopefully their kids, and on and on and on, because that's what lasts. Wisdom ensures that what you build, whether your family, your ministry, your career, or legacy, will last beyond your lifetime. I love the movie Gladiator, the first version, not the second one. They usually try to make a sequel, and it always usually sucks. It's not as good as the first one. But I love watching The Gladiator because there's so many things in that movie. It's gory and there's a lot going on there, but I love Russell Crowe. That's probably one of the best acting that's ever been done in the history of movies. But I love when he's there encouraging his soldiers, and he's there in the film, and he's encouraging them, he's reminding them that their actions have lasting consequences, and whatever they do now is going to last forever. And this is what he says. He says, what we do in life echoes in eternity. What you do right now will echo in eternity. Good things will echo forever. Bad things may end with just your last breath. See, I want to be remembered that I lived a good, but not only a good life, but I also want to be remembered as someone who has lived a godly life, too. Good and godly. And that's why we need wisdom. We need wisdom to build this, to have this, to live a good life, but then also live a godly life. In Proverbs 8:22, it says this, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work and the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. You see, God established this universe through his wisdom. Everything that you see around you, you walk outside, it doesn't take too much, you go into nature. Everything that has been created by God. I was just talking to my neighbor the other day, and he said, it's amazing. We're talking about going to even Grand Canyon. I've never been. I can't wait to go one day. I asked Pastor Ken. Pastor Ken has been everywhere in this world. And I asked Pastor Ken, what is like the two places on this earth that you know, you just like, they tell you about it, but until you actually get there, it's the whole nother level, right? And he said, the first thing that he said was Grand Canyon, Because you go to Grand Canyon and it's just mind-boggling. When you look at that thing, you cannot say there's no God. Simply, you cannot. And then the second thing he said is North Italy. That's another thing to talk about next time, but North Italy. Okay. So he established all the beauty around us, God himself, with his wisdom. And if wisdom was essential for God, and this, like we just read this in the Proverbs, if it was essential for God to build a good world, how much more will it be necessary for us to build a good life today? Wisdom is making choices today with eternity in mind. That's what wisdom is. It will guide us, the wisdom will guide us to speak with love, patience, understanding, to act with love, patience, understanding, not to react emotionally, not to get worked up, not to get angry. It will help us say things when we need to say them in a nice way. It will help us pull back when we need to be quiet and not say much. It will guide us in our relationships, in our marriages, in our relationship with our kids, in our coworkers. Wisdom will guide us, and it will help us leave a legacy that will last for a long time. I believe that we obviously leave a greater legacy in this life when we live this life for God, 100%. When we fall in love with Jesus and his word. And Jesus, like he said, I am the wisdom. He is the wisdom of God himself. And in 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption, and whatever it is that we need in this life. And these three things usually we need the most in our life. It is the righteousness, it is the holiness and redemption. It all comes through Christ Jesus and our relationship with him. Wisdom will always come by walking closely with Jesus, who is wisdom personified himself. Why do we need wisdom? We need wisdom to navigate difficulties. You see, what wisdom will do, it will guide us in trials and temptations of this life. It will help us make right choices when we are faced with difficult decisions. And James talks about this very fact in James 1. And he talks about how if we need wisdom, we should ask for it, and God is going to give it to us generously. He's talking to Christians who were at a really hard time. They were going through trials, and they were being persecuted. And James himself, who wrote this, was later on killed as well for the sake of the gospel. But he's writing to his believers to encourage them, and this is what he said. He said in chapter 1, verses 2-8, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And isn't it funny that right after this, he says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. When we are going through a hard time in life, and when we do not know where to turn and what to do, and we're pressed from every single side, and we don't have a way out, he said, seek wisdom, ask for wisdom, and I will give it to you freely. Trials in our life will come. They're a normal part of life. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. It's not promised that we're going to have a trouble-free life. You will have trouble. But Jesus says, don't worry. I have overcome the world. So trials will come. Trouble will come. You may be in a trouble and trial right now. But how we respond in this trial is very important. How we act in this trial is very important. It shows either wisdom or foolishness. And sometimes in a trial, decisions that we need to make are very difficult. They're very hard. And life is full of those critical, hard decisions that we are to make, especially when we're going through a really hard time. And it's very easy when we're in a trial to make a difficult decision. And it's very easy to fall off and to not make the wise choice. Cain, who we know in the Bible in the very beginning, who was a son of Adam and Eve, was overcome by anger and jealousy. And he faced a moment where even God warned him. He said, this is what God said in Genesis 4:7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. See, what happened to Cain can easily happen to us. When you're in a trial, and he was in a jealousy, and he was in anger, and he made a stupid decision. He went and he killed his brother. We know the story. He went and killed his brother because he was jealous, and he let the flesh and the emotion take over, the jealousy and anger, instead of listening to God's wisdom to make the right choice. See, when we are in a trial, we are going through a hard time, and we're trying to process things in our own understanding, it's never going to work out. That's why we need to let God speak to us, Holy Spirit speak to us, so that we know how to deal with the trial, with this problem. And oftentimes our poor decisions stem from lack of godly counsel and not us not going to the Word of God. Because we're too prideful and we make decisions alone and we think that we don't need any guidance and we don't need God to intervene. Proverbs 11:14, he says, when there is no counsel, the people will fail. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. See, we need wisdom of God. We need His Word. We need Holy Spirit so that we would be able, that even when we're in trial, that we would be able to make right decisions. Even though they may be really hard, we need His strength to make those choices. We also need wisdom because the enemy of our soul will try to tempt us, and temptations are a normal part of our life in this world. Jesus even said in His prayer, and when He was teaching His disciples how to pray, part of that prayer is, teach us, lead us not into temptation. We're often, with our choices, put ourselves in a situation that we should not be in. Not wise choices that we make, we end up being in places that we shouldn't be in. And the enemy tempts us, and the enemy lies to us, and he always tries to deceive us. And that's his title. The enemy actually is called, in the scriptures, he was called the deceiver of the brethren, of the brothers. That's his title, that's his trade, that's what he goes by. He's a deceiver, and he's trying to lie to you. And from the very beginning of Adam and Eve in Eden, when he lied to them, telling them that they can do whatever they wanted to do, and the question, he was there making them question God's word, saying, is it really true? Do you really believe this? Did God really say this? And ever since then, up until this moment, he's been asking the same question to you. Is this really true? Did God really say this? Do you really believe this is true? And that's how he's trying to tempt us, and he's trying to pull us closer to making a wrong choice and a wrong decision. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, wisdom, discernment, is not knowing the difference between right and wrong, but is also knowing the difference between right and almost right. You know, when you come to a decision, you're about to make the right, but this looks almost right. It's almost truth, so we're just going to go with that. And that is the compromise that the enemy wants us to believe and he wants us to live by. He wants us to compromise God's word and say, well, you know, this is what it says, but, you know, this is close to the truth, so I'm just going to stand by that. If it's almost right and if it's close to the truth, it is not truth. And it often leads to death and destruction and pain and suffering. He's in the business, and his tactic is still the same. He still uses the same strategy, the enemy. do you really believe this? Is this really true? And we know that this Bible, the Word of God, is only black and white. There's no middle. I know a lot of people want to stand in the middle, and they want to say, well, you know, it's close enough. Well, if it's close enough, then it's not the truth. I'm sorry. So that's why we need to know Scripture deeply, clearly. We need to feed our souls. We need to develop a habit of reading God's Word so that we would know what the truth is from deception when the deception comes and when we get tempted. We won't know if we don't know what the Scripture, what the truth is. If you need wisdom, seek God. Proverbs 2:6 says this, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He's the wisdom. His mouth only speaks what is true. And the last reason why we need wisdom is we need wisdom so that we would keep our heart pure. See, the world that we live in is messed up and unwise. And it needs light. And I love the story of Daniel. He demonstrated that so well in the Bible. He was part of the Babylon, who was a completely different empire, multiple gods. They worshipped their own king. And Daniel was stood out as an example of what it means to be in a culture where there's all kinds of different gods and all kinds of different lusts and desires, and he stood on the wisdom of God's word, and God actually used that to promote him, and King actually started liking Daniel because Daniel could interpret his dreams. It was the wisdom of God that was in Daniel that he was able to, that gave him a position even in Babylon at that time. It was the wisdom of God that protected Daniel when he was thrown into lion's den. It was the wisdom of God all along that kept him pure and his heart pure because he was committed to the Lord. I know I probably said about 100 times word wisdom, but I'll say it one more time. Wisdom of this world is not the same as the wisdom of God. They're two different things. And the Bible talks about this very fact in 1 Corinthians. It says this, chapter 3. It says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. They're all yours. They're all in Christ Jesus, who is in God. The wisdom of this world is not the same as the wisdom of God. The kingdom of God is completely opposite to the kingdom of this world. The way the kingdom of God operates, it's a completely opposite to what this world operates like. And our culture that we live in nowadays is so unwise, and it's getting worse. And our culture is, they're drifting away from wisdom every single day. They're drifting away more and more, and from God's truth. And what the voices of this world want to promote is usually got to do with pleasure, lust, self-centeredness, pride, being relative. But the wisdom of God calls us to be different, calls us to a better way of living. And Noah himself stood alone as well, along with Daniel, who received instructions from the Lord to build the ark, and he was faithful when everybody else made a fool of him. He was building that ark for weeks and days to come while he seemed foolish to everybody around him, but he was doing what God's wisdom told him to do. That's why in a world of fools, wisdom looks foolish. But true wisdom endures when folly collapses. That's when true wisdom will stay, and that's why God's word will reign forever. We need to choose God's ways and His word over popular opinions. We need to choose God. We need to build our life and our family intentionally on God's principles. And even if we stand alone, we need to keep building on what is right. Just as Noah built an ark, we're called to build our godly lives and our churches on His word. And we are to offer hope and rescue in this confused, chaotic, messed up, unwise world. That's why we need to conform our mind daily. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, Romans 12:1, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a daily thing that we should do. We should be renewing our mind. You see, Jesus told us that we are three things. He told us, you're salt, you are light, and you're a city on a hill. This world that we live in today, which is very unwise and going away from the Lord every day, is going to be a dark, tasteless, confused place without the wisdom of God that is shown through us, His church. This world, we heard this word a lot lately, this world will lose the common sense, will not know what common sense is if it wasn't for the wisdom of God in us and His word. See, what wisdom does, wisdom protects us from the unnecessary pain. And a lot of pain that people are experiencing in this life and in this world is usually got to do with being a self-inflicted pain. It's because of their choices that were unwise, were the reason why they ended up where they are right now. And we know that a lot of pain that people go through nowadays is the pain that they have self-inflicted on themselves because of the choices that they have made. That's why we need wisdom. Wisdom does not guarantee a trouble-free life, but it will protect us from unnecessary pain that is usually caused by foolish choices that people make. Many hardships that we face could have been avoided by wise decision-making, guided by God's principles and His word. We should never be afraid to stand on God's word and His principles, no matter what we face in life. That is the one thing that's unmovable, immovable, unchanging, constant, and faithful. And that is the one thing that we can rely on. Just going to close with this. Somebody once said, experience is not the best teacher, but evaluated experience is. When we make choices that are not wise, and then we try to evaluate it, and we try to do better next time, and do better next time, that's how we grow. That's how we spiritually mature. That's how we become more like Jesus in our own life. And I just want to leave you with three questions that you can take with you. You can apply to your day-to-day life when you're trying to make a decision. Before making any big decision, or even small, we should always pause and pray and consider asking. First question is this decision aligned with God's principles? Is it true? Is it aligned? Because if it's not, I don't want to do anything with it. I don't want to have it. I don't want to go down that path because I know that it's going to lead me down the wrong path. The second question is, what will be the consequences of my choices? You see, every choice in our life has consequences, good or bad. Oftentimes, bad choices have harder consequences, and sin, the Bible talks about that. Sin has a great consequence. It leads to death. It leads to spiritual death. It leads to separation of God. Will this choice that I'm making bring consequences into my life? And what will the consequences be? And then the third question is, who can I seek? And this is the one that we need to really press on. Who can I seek for godly advice? Whether it's seeking God's word and his leading with His Holy Spirit, or whether it's seeking someone in our life that's a little more wiser, a little more experienced, authority that God has put in our life, leaders, spiritual leaders. We all have at least a couple in our life that we can go to and ask for an advice before we make decisions. I want to be wise. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to live this the rest of this life making right decisions, wise decisions? We have a choice every single day of our life to choose wisdom, to walk in wisdom. And wisdom will establish our life. It will protect us from the traps of the enemy. It will guide us. It will help us. It will just help us not stumble. And it will lead us to the life that God wants us to live. Life of purpose. Life of peace. Life of joy. If any of you lacks wisdom, James 1:5, you should ask God, who gives freely and generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. This is a promise that has been given to us. If you lack wisdom, if you don't know how to deal with things, ask God. Seek Him. And He won't look at your life and say, well, you've got to do this, 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 and this, this before I give you wisdom. Yeah, sometimes God is going to require in that process of talking to us for us to do some things and make some hard decisions, whether it's forgiving someone that we have to forgive, whether it's loving someone that we need to love, whether it's just hard decisions that are right decisions, but they're hard. But when we ask God for wisdom, He gives us a choice. And I pray that He would give us strength, that we would pursue that, and that we would be able to lay down our pride, we would be able to lay down our flesh, and we'll be able to make right choices so that we can have an impact, not now, not in also 10 years from now, which is going to be good, but also for long after we're gone, that our choices now will make an impact for the future generations. Let's all stand as I close in prayer. You see, the beginning of all wisdom begins with your own personal relationship with Christ. And if you haven't done that so yet, if you haven't put your faith and your trust and your life in God's hands, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can do that today. We're going to have a prayer team come forward that can pray with you. But you need to, that's where everything starts. That's the beginning of all wisdom. You making your heart and your life right with Jesus. Him coming into your life, giving you a new life, spiritual life, where you're able to start, and you're able to seek the right things and pursue the right things. It all starts in our spirit. So, Father God, this morning we commit this time to you. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for your wisdom that's great and amazing, and you want us to have. We pray for our own personal relationship with you, that we would start there, that you would forgive us our sins, that you would forgive us our every time that we've tried to do things in our own understanding. Forgive us and help us to get close to you, to be one with you, with your mind, with your word, with your truth. May we live and may we walk in wisdom all the days of our life. And may all the choices that we make be wise. And even when we don't make the wise choice, I pray that you would remind us of your truth, and that you would stir us back, and that you would help us to continue on, to get up and continue on in this journey with you, Holy Spirit. Help us, encourage us, and strengthen us, I pray in your name. And everybody says,